Essay with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And for everyone who wants to know. And I am so happy that I have a wonderful guest right now to talk to. I always tell all my listeners who are writers, and they are asking me questions all the time. How can I get better? What advice do you have? I always say, paint a picture. And so I am so happy to welcome to somebody who really knows how to paint a picture. I have to say something before I introduce her. People, you've got to read this. If you are a writer, you have to read the first chapter of this book. It is wonderful. The name of the book is Impervious, a Sean McPherson novel. It's book 3, and it is written by Lori Buchanan. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you, Patsy?
Okay, great. We're getting a little echo there.
Yes, I hear that.
What's happening? Okay, I think we got it now?
I'm good.
Okay, we got you. Okay, wow, Lori, you are amazing.
Thank you.
As I said, the name of the book is Impervious. And when I sat down and started that first chapter, well, one thing I have to say about you, in some ways you are just so awful because you're just horrible because you write about food in this book. Now, I love books that have food in, but there should be a warning on the cover. Have your snack ready before you start reading. Because I started reading and I didn't have anything with me. I just plopped down. I'd been over to Tampa and I'd driven all the way back. I was tired and I sat down and I started reading. I was like, what am I going to do here? A little ways in, it didn't take too long before I'm saying, I need some food because you write. You write about food very well. I don't know.
Thank you.
I don't know if you did that, worked for a food magazine, but you are great at it.
Thank you very much.
Well, and of course it has, and the reason that I was hooked right away is in the very beginning, you have a little layout of the writer's retreat.
And yes.
I love writer's retreats. I want to go on one, and I particularly want to go on one up in your neighborhood. Because
the Pacific Northwest is drop dead gorgeous.
It is, and I've read and about so many of the wonderful writing retreats there, and many of the authors who have come out of those writing retreats have been on Joy on Paper.
Woohoo!
And so I was torn there. So I'm reading, and then this first chapter. It was so refreshing and so much fun. And you write from different points of view. But first of all, your descriptions are so good that you take us right into the location. First of all, I don't want to give away the beginning of this first chapter because I was surprised by the character. I was surprised by, how can I say, you turn things upside down because we're not expecting the character perhaps to be as knowledgeable about a certain subject. And so that was so much fun. That was so refreshing. I thought, oh, I love it. And you're quoting all these wonderful things that I love, Conan Doyle. And it's just, all of that is delightful. And then we get to a police station. Now, there have been so many many descriptions of a police station. But when I get to yours, I could picture it. I could see it. And again, an unexpected twist that we have. Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a police officer. And then there's a twist in that. And so I'm getting this feeling. I'm saying, this is all in the first chapter. What am I going to do? I'm hungry. I'm hungry. But then I was so cozy because it had been really cold. We had a cold spell here. Well, we call it cold when it hits, 50 degrees. So my bones were chilled and I didn't want to get out of my nice comfy chair. And I'm just, I knew I was in trouble. You must have had so much fun writing this book.
I do. I love writing the Sean McPherson novels. They're so much fun. And you opened this with saying, painting, and I paint a word picture. That's my goal, is to put the reader into the pages of the book.
Oh, you do. Oh, you do. And also, I advise people, before they read this book, also make sure you go to the bathroom and then come back. Put the snacks next to you and be ready not to move again, because it's just so much fun. Because the writer's retreat, I love the little layout. I was imagining myself going from cabin to cabin, and it's called Pines and Quill, which is such a perfect, oh, that's perfection. Oh, I just, everything about this book is just delightful. And of course, and the nice thing, it starts with a wedding, and I always like books that have a wedding in it. I had to wait for 12 books for Carol J. Perry to finally get her characters married. And my sister and I were going crazy. We kept saying, when's she going to get, she's got to get this girl married.
That's funny.
So here you got the married in book three.
Book three, yes. I've got an 8-book contract, and there's a baby coming in book five. And I'm having a blast writing this. And it's all based on my stay at Hedgebrook, which is a women's writing retreat on Whidbey Island off the coast of Washington State. And I got to stay there, and I was put in the cabin that was secluded by trees, and we had to put in our own firewood. I mean, they chopped it for us, but they taught us how to use the wood-burning stoves within our cabin. And then at night, we'd all meet at the main house, and we would eat a meal together, all of the writers in residence, and we would share the day's ups and downs. So this is very much based on my experience there.
Oh, and as I said, because you paint this picture, we can feel it. We can, and having the little layout, we're imagining ourselves going from place to place. Everything about it is absolutely wonderful. Now, tell us about your main characters, because they are... Well, they are going to be one of these power couples in mystery history.
There you go.
That's it.
So Sean Mick McPherson. His name is Sean McPherson, but everybody calls him Mick. He is a gentleman who had been a police officer. He'd been in a horrific accident, and he lost his ability to walk for quite some time. Was in a wheelchair. It not only took a toll physically, but mentally and emotionally, he suffers from survivor's guilt. So he came to his sister and brother-in-law's, Pines and Quill, to be a groundskeeper and handyman and that type of thing. Each month, 4 writers in residence come, and he meets Emma Benton. And Emma Benton is in a wheelchair from complications due to transverse myelitis. Anyway, they fall in love, and... Mick is able to walk again, and I won't spoil that. He's able to walk again. He decides to become a PI, a private investigator in the state of Washington, one that carries a gun. And he's very good friends with the local homicide detective and also a Seattle-based special agent, FBI agent. And they work together quite often on a joint task force to fight Giorgio the Bull Gambino, who has a trifecta of towns, which is in New Orleans, in San Francisco, and Seattle. And he runs drugs. He traffics drugs and weapons and humans. And so their battle is against this guy and his minions. And it's so fun to write. And so Sean is amazing. In book three, you mentioned a wedding. He marries Emma. And we have Hemingway, who's the Irish wolfhound. Most people, when they write reviews, they write about Hemingway, who's based on my real-life Willa, Irish wolfhound. And I have just so much fun bringing these characters to life. They stand up out of the pages.
They certainly do. You've just peopled it with wonderful characters, including somebody who knows how to cook. And that is what, I mean, it was really torture there for a while. I had to get up and get something. I got in quite a ways before I finally, you know, just got up out of my chair and got something to eat, because I was inspired. So tell us about that.
Well, that is Neil McCullough. He's one of the two owners. He's married to Libby, who's Mick's sister. And Neil is a phenomenal cook. He's a gourmet cook, and he pairs his meals with wines. And I talk about it. And Neil is based on my husband. My husband is a phenomenal cook. So every meal that I write, we have tried. We have eaten. We've paired the wines. And I can write about it because we sit down. And I'll say to him, okay, honey, I need a breakfast. Okay, honey, I need a picnic lunch. I need a this, I need a that. And pair it with a wine for me. So he'll put it together. He'll serve it. I'll taste it. I'll say, oh, yeah, this is it. And then I write it.
I love this guy. I mean, the guy in the book, but I love your husband, too.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you know, that's what one thing writers need, female writers particularly, we really do appreciate men who cook, because my husband was also the cook in the family. At one point, somebody said, well, you know, when I started the program, I said, you know, I've read 10,000 books, and people would say, well, how could you possibly? I mean, you're married, you've got kids, you can't do that. I said, but I have a husband who cooks and cleans.
Yes. So, oh, that's nice.
You know, he was a military guy. He learned how to do things right. I could never make a bed like he can. So, you know, aren't they wonderful?
Yes, yes, yes. My husband's retired military as well. And they do. Those men and women, they come out just so incredibly organized and talented and skilled, yes.
And trained. I mean, they're trained.
Yes.
They're trained to do it, and they don't object to do it. I mean, because, you know, they never complain to a general. And so they just do it.
Yes. Yes, yes.
So no wonder you have time to write 8 books.
Yes.
Oh, as I said, this retreat is so delightful, and I want to, I have to do it. I have to go to the one that you went to, of course, is absolutely fantastic. That's the kind of retreat I need to go to. I have only been to one writer's retreat, and that
Where was
a little bit different. It was at the Houstonian Hotel in Houston, which is a very luxurious hotel tucked way in the woods. People are always so surprised that there's a wooded area in Houston on a little hill, and right there is this very luxurious hotel. And Ooh. There was a writer's retreat there. In those days, let's say, Ken Kesey was the main person speaking, of course, you know, with the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. We all sort of got a little cuckoo, and there was an enormous amount of drinking, and we spent most of our time, I don't know how much we learned about writing, but we certainly had a lot of fun. I need one of these really, you know, rustic settings.
Yes, yes, yes.
But pair it with some wine for dinner, at least.
There you go.
You know, I am in awe of you because you're writing. I know you've won so many awards. Do you want to say some of them off the top of your head? I mean, when you
get to that page.
Yeah. You get to your page. You get to your book.
I have to look. Yeah, I got the Eric Hoffer Award. I was a finalist. I got the Pen Craft Literary Excellence. I got the Clue finalist. I got the International Book Award winner, the gold there. I got the National Indie Excellent Award gold. I got the Reader's Favorite finalist. I got the Top Shelf finalist. I got the Forward Indies winner. The Novelist. I got quite a few.
You got a lot of them. I think that's enough for right now.
And I have fun. And it, even though I treat it as a business, writing is a business, it doesn't feel like a job. Every writer has to, this is a business. You have to market and you have to do your publicity, but it doesn't feel like a job.
Oh, no, when you're having so much fun writing about characters who I'm sure have taken over much of your life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And which makes it so much fun. And then you can include all sorts of, well, I don't know. We didn't even talk about the mystery in this book. I don't want to give things away. But, yeah, let's just say this is a wedding with a bang.
There you go. That was a perfect way to put it.
And we have a lot of things to follow. There's a lot. And I love the different points of view. I love the bad guy point of view. I got a kick out of everything you wrote. Tell us a little bit about your background in writing. When did you get your very, very first book deal?
I got that. It came out in 2015. I got the deal. My first two books were nonfiction. Note to Self, A Seven-Step Path to Gratitude and Growth, and then The Business of Being Sole Purpose in and Out of the Workplace. So those were my first two. And I was writing Note to Self at Hedgebrook, where women author change. That's their tagline. Hedgebrook, where women author change. But I saw this man across the way, and he was pushing a wheelbarrow, and he had a significant limp, and he looked like he was some type of a landscaper, groundskeeper. And I said to myself, based on that time and his age, I said, I wonder if he went to Afghanistan, if something happened there. And I tucked that into the back of my mind, and he is the inspiration for Sean McPherson. He is everything. It happened there, right then and there. I wasn't even there writing that book. But as you know, people who are authors or who want to be, any little thing can turn into a book.
That's so true. And it is why I call this joy on paper. It's that joy. You get this idea, and then you put it down on paper, and you just look at the paper on the computer screen, and you say, my goodness, that's an idea. And then, I wrote that. And then you start, and then you can't stop. And then at one point, when you birth these characters, then they take over, and then what the heck, you just along for the ride.
Exactly. You're along for the ride, and that is absolutely the truth.
So what are your own personal, your background in reading? Explain a little bit, because that's important that so many of my people, I tell them, read.
Yes, I read. I'll tell you my favorite authors. One person, her book, her name is Hank Philippi Ryan. Even though she's a female, but her name is Hank Philippi Ryan, and one of her books released today, The House Guest. She's one of my favorites. Robert Dugoni, David Baldacci, Robert Brinza, he's in the UK, Keith Hooton, Louise Penny, the Inspector Gamache books. I love Louise Penny. Anne Cleves. I mean, I read mysteries, thrillers, suspense. Those are my favorite. I read other things, too. But I love to read other suspense thriller authors. I love crime fiction. And it's amazing how everybody writes something completely different. It's all about crime. I mean, that's the commonality. But we all do it so differently. And these people that I just named do it so exquisitely well. I'm in awe of them.
And many of them have been on the program. David Baldacci's been on here, I think, 8 times.
Oh, wow.
He's been a frequent guest. And Dugoni, of course, has been on. And he's going to be on again soon. So, it's just so much fun to read. And as I was reading your characters, I said to myself, okay, Lord Peter Wimsey and Harriet Vane, you've got competition here.
That's great.
Now, I also want to recommend to people, and I've been doing this quite a bit, the classics that they should read, because it's so important, I think, that you have a background in reading classic books. So classic books, for me, of course, the ones that always come first are the three guys, really, I suppose, Darcy, Mr. Rochester, and Heathcliff.
Right.
That's where I sort of look back on gentleman characters. Of those three, who do you like?
I'm in a little bit different vein than you. I'm like Animal Farm by George Orwell. I'm Dracula by Bram Stoker. Oh. I'm Fahrenheit 451. I'm Jane Eyre. I'm Moby Dick. I mean, give me 984, you know, George Orwell. I'm Of Mice and Men. I'm that kind of gal, because that was when I was going to school in high school in the 70s, that was what we were fed. And for me, I liked it. There were a lot of people that shook their head no. I happened to eat it with a spoon.
Oh, especially, I'm glad you mentioned Moby Dick, because it is so fantastic, and it is really a groundwork for writers. As you said, in school, they don't present it right, but once you get into that book, it's such a revelation, and it stays with you forever.
Oh, yeah, and again, I think it's all in the presentation, and sometimes, at least in my experience in school, it was a thing where it was presented like you had to do this. Now, most teenagers don't like that. If it's their idea, if somehow we could get reading to be their idea, and it turned out to be my idea, otherwise I wouldn't have. That's just the kind of person I am. But I actually loved it. Most of my peers did not. But I fell in love. I fell in love with it. My mom taught us, you know, to read way before most kids read, and she read to us. And then even when we knew how to read, she read to us and did the voices, the characters. She was amazing.
And that is so important. And I tell young people always, you know, young mothers and fathers, I say, read to your kids. Don't just, you know, give them books. Read, because that's what my mother did, the same exact thing.
Yes.
We started, you know, sitting on her lap, and we were poor, so we read comic books, and then as we, you know, got a little older, then she would read, well, she was reading, we had books like Dickens, and, you know, so she read a lot of those books to us. Even at a very young age, we started listening to Dickens, and we thought, oh, my goodness, you know, that was our whole excitement when she would read to us.
So. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, well, you know, back in the day when parents were allowed to spank, mine didn't. My mother would say, if I did something wrong, she'd say, Lori Jean, give me your library card. That was the worst thing anybody could do.
Oh.
I mean, it was like, oh, my gosh, because she knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to read. My favorite thing was to go to the library, ride my little bicycle to the library on Saturday, load up my bike basket with books and come home with those. And that was a delight. So a punishment for me was, Lori Jean, give me your library card. That just cut me off at the knees and I bled, you know?
Oh, don't you love when mothers use two names?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I've only done that to my son a few times in his life, and he knows. Boy, if I use both names.
You're in trouble.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You're wonderful. I think it's fantastic. Well, you're fantastic. The book is fantastic. It's so exciting that we're going to have, actually, we're going to have a baby in book five. Something to look forward to, because book four must be done by now.
Oh, yeah. It's at the editor, and we're on to, so we've got Indelible, Iconoclast, Impervious, Iniquity, Illusionist, Innocuous, and I'm working on Innocuous right now. And you might notice that all of the books start with the letter I, and they're four syllables long. I don't know why. I wanted something to be my signature, like Sue Grafton. She had the alphabet murders.
Yeah.
And I wanted a cool signature that's just my own. So when I wrote Indelible, I love that word, just to say the word indelible. And I told my sister, it tastes so good. And she said, well, then have all of your words taste really good. So all of my books will always be an I word that is four syllables long.
Well, I was going to mention, Impervious is a wonderful, wonderful title. Now, your website is what? Just your name?
LoriBuchanan.com.
LoriBuchanan.com. People, get this book. All the books are starting with I. And Lori, you are fantastic. You paint a picture.
Thank you.
And you make us all very, very hungry as we go along. So if we gain weight, we're going to blame you.
Blame it on me.
Blame it on Lori Buchanan. And she will be always remembered as you open your fridge. Again, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. You are an absolute joy.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.